It is 7th of the 7th, 2020. This is actually a format that Americans and the rest of the world can agree on. I'm going to try and make this video quick because I was triggered earlier today during a, of all things, a fucking Tinder debate. I was asked, what do you do? And I mentioned, you know, I'm on some podcasts, I run a fintech company. I like doing some writing about things like Bitcoin economics, society, free markets, etc., etc. And I get this message back saying, hey, that's the kind of stuff I'm interested in. And here I am thinking, sweet, you know, maybe there's a person with a brain on the other side. Not to say everyone I match with on Tinder is stupid, but I've had some strange experiences. So anyway, we start getting into this conversation and then I make the point that I'm interested in economics and not the mainstream format of economics that's taught in universities and in the mainstream media today, you know, this sort of Keynesian modern monetary theory, postmodern bullshit about, you know, giving up your agency and empowering an institution that has some sort of moral, ethical, and economic higher ground to make decisions for us, and in the process, enrich themselves at the expense of everyone else. So I kind of, you know, framed up, you know, the essence of economics that I'm interested in, which is the study of human action and our individual allocation of our two most precious resources, which is time and energy. And, you know, she pulls up something about Milton Friedman and I said, you know, look, he's, you know, was 10% of the way, but, you know, he had some really inconsistent logic around how he liked to frame things. And, you know, I explained that I'm not a big fan of him and particularly not a big fan of morons like Keynes and his, you know, fellow Keynesians like our friend Paul Krugman, or Krugwoman, whatever the hell his name is. So anyway, that sparked an interesting debate where she started talking to me about how, you know, the world's fucked up because, you know, big corporations, you know, are the problem because they can amass wealth and create these massive, you know, inequalities. And that, you know, consumers are fundamentally stupid and they don't know what they're buying, why they're buying it. You know, they're manipulated through marketing. But basically, this is the form of the argument she was trying to make. And she was saying that, you know, we should regulate, we should mandate that, you know, monopolies and large corporations can't be formed. Now, in the process of making this argument, she was obviously advocating the idea that another monopoly, so a state-based monopoly, would be the one in charge of, you know, regulating who can and cannot be a monopoly, and who can and cannot do what based on, you know, their definition of what's right. Now, she then proceeded to tell me that, you know, the free market hypothesis, supposedly, and, you know, the idea of that the market solves things and that, you know, that it can naturally rebalance is, has been disproven. And, you know, further went on to say that, you know, money is just something we've made up, as human beings. And, you know, oh man, you know, I obviously got triggered starting to think, hold on, if you can't define money, or the essence of why money exists, you know, and if you can't delineate between the unit or the object or the, you know, the instrument, you know, that we use as money versus the natural emergent phenomenon that is money, that is the mechanism via which human beings collaborate and can build society. It goes to show how deep your thinking is. And, you know, we went back and forth on these arguments and I wish, I mean, by the end of it, you know, I kind of threw my hands up and said, look, you know, if you're not going to want to understand what I'm saying and, you know, what Bitcoin's role is in all of this, I said, I can't convince you over a Tinder message. I tried to send her some articles, one of mine, one of Robert Breedlove's, you know, his latest one, The Mastering Slavery. And she kept coming back to the same point, which is, oh, you know, your viewpoint on central banking doesn't explain Or doesn't address the issue of, you know, corporates amassing wealth and hoarding, right? And continuing to become rich at the expense of everybody else. And as much as I try to explain that the very existence of large-scale corporates who no longer innovate is actually a result of central banks and governments being close enough to the monetary spigot and creating money, which is the resource via which, you know, the fabric of society is held together, they can create that out of thin air. And where it first flows is to funds, banks, and large corporates who can qualify for that kind of entry level money. And then where does that first flow? Onto the stock market and onto the bond market and, you know, all the stuff that the, you know, the Treasury buys. And then that helps strengthen and concentrate the wealth around, you know, those who are closest to, you know, those central banks and governments and, you know, those who are able, who have control over the resource via which we measure society, via which we measure wealth. So that their existence is actually a function of that. You can't get such concentration in an economic system that is fundamentally free, and that means in an economic system where the money is also a free market form of money. Because in that kind of a system, what drives the accrual of wealth is adding value and continually innovating. Whereas what drives the continual accrual of wealth here is how close you are to the creation of the resource via which we measure and evaluate society, i.e. money. So they're two different worlds. And I couldn't seem to get that through to her head because in her mind, it was greedy corporates who allowed to, you know, operate unhinged would ultimately bring the world to its demise. And, you know, unfortunately, I tried to say, well, look, you know, there is a solution here with this thing called Bitcoin that creates a playing field that nobody can get a benefit from at the expense of anybody else, where nobody can have an unfair advantage. And if you start there, you're able to start to build a system upon which the right behaviors are more incentivized than the not so right behaviors. Now, you're never going to eliminate bad behavior from human society. You know, like, we're not fucking robots. And if you believe in some utopian, you know, Huxley Brave New World type of fucking society, you know, if you're some Silicon Valley monkey that wants to create that, you know, like Bellagio or something, you know, A, you're a moron, but B, you know, go for it because you're going to fail anyway. Alternatively, you could build a 1984 type society where nobody has any rights, you know, and you've got Big Brother and they control everything, etc. And, you know, that's obviously what the Chinese are trying to do and the North Koreans are doing, you know, Hitler tried as well and all that sort of stuff. So you've got those two divergent paths, which are effectively what centralized control leads to. You know, the idea of creating equality, creating stricter and stricter and stricter rules and regulations that some collectivist institution is able to, you know, endow upon the people, versus optimizing for a system that's a little bit messier, that allows, you know, freedom, innovation, lateral thinking, creativity, you know, life in and of itself. And that's the free market model. But the free market model can only work if everything is free. Particularly, and most importantly, the money, the resource that all of this stuff is measured through. She blocked Mars on Tinder. I mean, I'm fine with that. In fact, I think the best part of situations like this is that one day, I'm sure, she will remember and she will be You know, perhaps still yelling at clouds for, you know, governments to introduce more legislation to stop monopolies and make sure, you know, the shale oil is not being dug anymore, or, you know, greenwashing doesn't occur, or whatever the fuck other regulation she thinks that some other monopoly has the right to impose upon market participants. So yeah, she's most likely still going to be, you know, yelling at clouds for the next 5 years, maybe even the next 10 years, until economic Darwinism, monetary Darwinism, until, you know, she another point that she made is, you know, humans aren't rational. Of course they're fucking not. You know, nobody's rational all the time. You know, and the problem with these people is, you know, they don't understand nuance. So they think, you know, you're either rational or you're fucking irrational. You know, but there's a spectrum, and human beings, as they grow, as they develop, as they mature, as they learn, you know, that it's kind of like a plane which leaves Sydney to go to LA. It's not 100% on that one line the entire way through. In fact, it's off course 90% of the time, and it's correcting along the way until it lands on a dime in the right position. And that's what human beings are like. That's what all natural systems are like. You know, we are not above nature. We're not outside of nature. We are part of this holistic system. And these modern economists, you know, quote unquote fucking economists, more like morons, they start with the assumption that human beings are not part of nature, that economics is a field that we just fucking made up, that money doesn't exist. So they start with a bunch of false assumptions, and then they try and create models with false assumptions that, you know, that they somehow think are more logical than getting the fuck out of the way and allowing each individual, allowing a decentralized system to find its own mechanism of balance, its own equilibrium through the most intelligent method possible, which is the price structure, the method of delivering information through price through a free market monetary system. And I don't know, it was really funny because she, you know, kept coming back to the point that I was the arrogant one who was trying, you know, who was refusing to think deeper when I was trying to define the base points of the argument, i.e. what is money, what is economics, you know, how human beings self-correct along the way, and how allowing, getting the meddling out of the way and allowing businesses who do the wrong thing to fail. Because, you know, another one of her points was how, you know, if governments don't know what to do, what, you're saying businesses know what to do. I said, no, fuck no. The businesses don't know what to do. Governments don't know what to do. Individuals barely know what the fuck to do, you know, but most individuals at least have a semblance of what they want for themselves. And, you know, when they get what they want, they might realize that it's not what they want. And, you know, along the way they find, you know, what more of what it is that they need. Now, that might not be so evident in today's world where we have step by step removed personal agency and personal responsibility and individual responsibility. We've continually removed that from people, and we've replaced it with cushions, with, you know, rights, with this collectivist apparatus which makes decisions on your fucking behalf. You know, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that the human beings that you see on a day-to-day basis might not seem like that they can make intelligent, rational decisions for themselves. But trying to solve for that by taking away more personal agency, by taking away more personal responsibility, by enlarging the state and introducing more rules and regulations which some fucking bureaucrat might think they know better about, is completely antithetical. It makes the problem worse. Like, how can you be so blind not to be able to see something as basic as that? And it's really funny because her argument was about, oh, you know, these big corporates, you know, are destroying the world, they're, you know, doing this and that, and, you know, they're enriching themselves at the expense of the masses, who she's trying to, like, sort of paint a picture about how the masses are important, but then at the same time, she's making the argument that the masses are a bunch of fucking morons who are too incapable of making a decision for themselves. So me, in my, you know, fucking, you know, self-endowed moral high ground, am right because I studied economics at university and, you know, fucking, I somehow know what's better for everybody. Kind of an arrogant moron do you have to be able to make that kind of a presupposition, you know, to make that kind of an assumption about people whilst trying to act like you give a shit about them. No, you don't give a shit about them. If you care about people, allow them to become stronger individuals. Allow them to take responsibility for the decisions they want to make in life. No, they will not know everything. Yes, they will be influenced by some form of marketing, but the more you allow people to make their decisions, the stronger their decision-making muscle becomes. And the more, the sharper, smarter, and more, I guess, what's the word? Responsible, I keep saying that same word, but the more like that they will become. And the more they'll be able to find other people who have similar values, they'll build values, they'll build ethics. We will build a society of strong individuals as opposed to a society of a collective with all the power and all the moral, ethical, and economic high ground controlling or, you know, leading or whatever the fuck you want to call that process, a bunch of weak sheep who can't decide for themselves. You know, what kind of a world do we want to live in? Like, the problem with a lot of these modern monetary theorists and the people who, you know, think they've figured it out now because, you know, free markets have somehow been debunked because, you know, free markets don't work. You know, we've seen what happened with the Great Depression. You fucking clown. You know, the Great Depression happened after the Federal Reserve was instituted. If you take a moment to read history. When we start to meddle, let me come back to my point. The problem with these people is they don't have a consistent thread of logic. They don't have a set of values and an idea, like a thread of an idea that they can run consistently throughout their entire argument. You know, they don't start with defining certain elements and then coming to a consensus and an accurate definition around what it is. Like, for example, what the fuck is economics? What the fuck is money? You know, why does it exist? Tell me. Evolutionary, from an evolutionary standpoint, from an anthropological standpoint, and from an individual responsibility and ability to interact with others standpoint. Define the term first before you start creating, you know, models and theories based upon a complete lack of understanding of what it is that you're talking about in the first place. So anyway, I've ranted long enough. This was supposed to be 10 minutes, but it's almost 20. So I just find it really funny that, and yeah, that some people can make these arguments, but I guess the conclusion to this thing is let them talk. You know, make your arguments, put them forward, see if you can have a civilized conversation because, you know, some of them may actually be open enough and humble enough to hear a viewpoint, you know, that has some depth. But from my experience, most of them won't. So in which case, block, leave the conversation. Let them yell at clouds. Let them hold their bags of fiat. Let them believe that, you know, their, you know, righteousness and, you know, their moral high ground is the way to go. You know, let them believe that they're dictators in their own minds and continue stacking sats, continue accumulating Bitcoin, continue defunding the state, continue defunding these morons who will be left with worthless euros or dollars or pounds or whatever the fuck other, you know, horse manure they're holding. Let them spend all their money because, you know, again, a lot of their theories are built around this idea that hoarding, in other words, saving, you know, the accumulation of capital is somehow bad. but you know, that everyone should spend because that's how, that's somehow how, you know, society should function, you know, on a high time preference, like spend now, build now, you know, rape and pillage now, as opposed to stopping for a moment, you know, saving the product of your labor and then finding something to invest it in that, you know, increases productive capacity and adds value to yourself, your community, and society at large. You know, that's apparently a bad thing for these people. So anyway, do the right thing. You know, buy Bitcoin, educate yourself, get smarter, stay healthy, and let the cucks and the muppets and the intellectual yet idiots, you know, continue running on their treadmill. Because at some stage, you know, someone's going to need to take the price of Bitcoin from 1 million to 10 million. It's going to be these guys. And that'll be so sweet. It'll be glorious. And again, I'm not in Bitcoin just to see, you know, the number go up, but I am also in Bitcoin to see the number go up, if you catch my drift. It's part of this. It's part of this revolution. The fact that we Bitcoiners and people with a little depth of thought and a bit of length of foresight will have the resources available to rebuild. I saw, you know, interesting tweet on Twitter the other day saying, you know, what happens after hyper-Bitcoinization? The best answer I saw was, we rebuild. Someone's gonna have to rebuild. And fortunately, that is us. So thank you again for listening. Share, like, subscribe, do all that sort of stuff. And I'm going to go on another rant tomorrow, but appreciate you listening to this. And I hope that this, you know, this format of discussion is useful. I hope there were some bits of information that you could pull from that, that you could use for arguments elsewhere. And when I say arguments, I don't mean, you know, bashing someone. I mean, you know, a discourse, a discussion. And I'll see you at the next episode.